Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, the earth is your footstool. Lord, we cry unto you, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you may be seated. That song is one of my favorite songs. If you're not familiar, it comes from Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, and they rest not day and night, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and to come. He's coming. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for his pleasure, for thy pleasure, they are and were created. They are and were created. Do you realize the promise and the power in these scriptures? This world is not our home. We're just passing through. This is what we're living for. This is what we're expecting. This is the expect. There's nothing more. This is it. This is it. And Sister Vicky wrote that beautiful song. She wrote that from her heart. I love that song. And it's from the Word of God. And you know what? You can't go wrong as long as you stick with the Word of God. You can't go wrong. I don't even think you can preach a bad message if you go from the Word of God, because there's nothing bad about the Word of God. So he gets the glory and the honor, the power, and the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to share an excerpt that I found that goes along with what the Lord laid upon my heart. I rush out and see if you can identify yourself with this person. I could. I rush out of our apartment at about 8:30 a.m., annoyed to be running so late, but glad after my disagreement with my husband the previous night to be on my way to work. Now, after a kiss for my son, a quick hello to his nanny, and a barely grumbled goodbye to my husband, I am finally on my way. I walk up Washington Street, where I wait several minutes trying to hail a cab. But soon enough, I am riding south, joining the morning crush of cars and trucks. I glance at my watch, and again, I'm irritated by how late it is. The river is deep gray, its wind-driven swells crisscrossed by the wakes of morning water taxis. I grow impatient when we are caught at yet another red light. But before long, we are turning left. As the taxi pulls under the clear roof, I pull out my wallet to pay the driver. Two cabs in front of us pull forward, and I ask my driver to move up a bit so I can get out directly in front of the building's entrance. I step out of the cab, thinking how warm it is, how just the week before we were still at the beach, heading for the revolving doors. I walk past the security barriers, which are barely camouflaged as large concrete planters. As I approach the building, I look through the glass and see two women standing and talking inside. I smile at them as I push through the revolving doors. Then I move through a second set of doors and enter the lobby, where I am jarred by an incredibly loud, piercing whistle. I hesitate for a moment. Then I attribute the noise to some nearby construction project and continue toward the elevators. Directly ahead, elevator banks offer service to floors. I catch my elevator. As I veer left towards my elevators, I suddenly feel an incredible sense of otherworldliness. It's an odd, tremendous, quaking feeling, and everything moves. The entire building is trembling. Then I hear a huge whistling rush of air, an incredibly loud sound, my adversary racing toward me, howling in fury, and its containment as it plummets to meet me from above the floor. This is the moment and place of our introduction. With an enormous screeching exhalation, the fire explodes from the elevator banks into the lobby and it engulfs me. Its tentacles of flame hungrily latching on. An immense weight pushes down on me and I can barely breathe. I am whipped around, looking to my right and toward the two women who were talking. I see people lying on the floor, covered in flames, burning alive. Like them, I am on fire. Here's the simple version of what I just read. On September 11th, I went to work one morning and was engulfed by the fires that would bring down the twin towers of the World Trade Center. I fled the building in flames, so terribly injured that almost no one held out any hope for me. Yet in the weeks and months that followed, I battled back from the edge of death to hold my child in my arms and intertwine my husband's fingers with what was left of my own. In almost every way, this is the story of a miracle. I will never know how many others were gravely wounded along with me during the attack's first moments. The places where my fellow victims stood, more than 1,000 feet in the air. More than 1,000 feet have disappeared forever. When the buildings collapsed, they took with them thousands of lives. Among them, too many of my friends and colleagues. By the smallest of margins, I was given a chance to survive. And I decided early that morning that I would never give up the fight to live. I would never surrender. Tonight, the message that the Lord laid on my heart so clearly, never surrender. Never surrender. This story was an excerpt from a woman who survived the Twin Towers. Against all odds, a story of survival. How many of us sitting in this place are going to make it against all odds? How many of us sitting in this place realize that this is a real story of survival? I just want to pray. Jesus, I pray right now for everyone sitting in this place. God, I pray your anointing and the unction of your spirit would just fill this room. God, you said that if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. And God, you said that no man can be drawn to you unless you draw him. And Jesus, tonight, I pray that you would prepare hearts and minds. Let our ears to be open to hear. And I pray, God, that I would deliver the message that you have laid upon my heart under the unction and anointing of your spirit, God. Let thy will be done and not my own. In Jesus' name, amen. Another significant event happened on September 11th. This event had eternal consequences. It was the passing of the mantle from father to son, man of God to man of God. This was not told by the world. It didn't make the headlines. It wasn't on the news. It wasn't broadcast for all to see or hear, but it was recorded in heaven. God took notice of this event, not to say that he didn't the day of 9/11, but this passing of the mantle has eternal effects yet to be heard, felt, and made. Hebrews 13 and 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The mantle that was passed September 11th, 2014, was passed from our bishop to our pastor. This man of God is travailing for your soul. He stands in the gap for every one of us. Oh, we may have disagreements. We may not always agree with what he says, but you know, it's not about agreeing. It's about obeying. It's about the word of God. Our opinions don't matter. It really isn't going to matter when we stand before God. What's going to matter is, what did the word of God say? What does his word say? We need to get behind our pastor. We need to lift up his hands. We need to quit fighting amongst ourselves, and we got to get a hold of this. People are dying every day. And just as that lady watched her colleagues die, we're watching people die every day. And my heart is so heavy right now. I'm sick and tired of the devil destroying homes, marriages, families. You came into this church. He saved your soul. He can save your marriage. He can save your children. Never, never surrender. Don't surrender. I am furious with the enemy. I don't talk to the enemy. I talk to the one who can do something about the enemy. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't get this, if we don't get a hold of this, what's going to happen? What is going to happen when we stand before the Lord? What the world doesn't tell you, the world doesn't tell you the importance and value of being in church. Oh, you go to church four times a week? Oh, brother. You think you have to go that often? What the world doesn't tell you, that there is no heaven or hell. What the world doesn't tell you are the countless souls, the lives that are taken each day, lives that go off into an eternity, lives that couldn't find release from their spirit, and the ones they left behind. According to WHO, the World Health Organization, 1 million people commit suicide each year worldwide. That is about one death every 40 seconds. Every 40 seconds, or 3,000 souls per day. For each individual who takes his or her own life, at least 20 attempt to do so. The global mortality rate is 16 per 100,000 What the world doesn't tell you are the countless lives that are changed every day by the redeeming power of the Holy Ghost. Only God and the man of God is the one who's going to preach that. Only he has the privilege and the honor of preaching this gospel to souls who are not saved. What the world doesn't tell you is the story of lives that didn't commit suicide because they repented and cried out to a living and powerful God. If you're sitting here today and you've been filled with the power and the anointing and the unction of the Spirit and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, can he not save your marriage? Can he not? Wake up! Wake up! My heart is so troubled. I don't know, honestly, how to convey to you the brokenness that my husband and I have felt. What the world doesn't tell you is that Jesus loves you, that Jesus came to redeem you, that the word of God is truth, that Jesus is alive, that there is power and forgiveness in the name of Jesus. What the world doesn't tell you is that Jesus is coming back for a church without spot and wrinkle. They're not going to tell you that. They're going to tell you, follow your heart. Do what your heart tells you. No, the Bible says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Cover your heart. Hide the word of God in your heart. The world doesn't tell you that there are consequences for sin. The world doesn't tell you that God robed himself in flesh and bore your sins. The world doesn't tell you that the word of God, this word is truth. Let every man be a liar. Let this word to stand. That Jesus lived in the world, that Jesus became, or Jesus was the word made flesh. There is power in Jesus' name. The world doesn't tell you that there's healing for our broken, battered lives. No, take another pill. Go to counseling. See a psychiatrist. I'm not saying those things are bad. There's been times in my life that, yep, I've had to seek counsel. But I'm telling you, if we would just learn to depend upon the power and the anointing and the unction of Jesus Christ, lives would be transformed. Miracles, just as that woman's life was a miracle. Miracles every day. The greatest miracle that I could ever desire to see is a soul that has been transformed. Oh, I want to see blind eyes open. I want to see deaf ears hear. I want to see legs grow back. I'm not negating any of that. That's what my Lord did. But the greatest transformation is a life that has been transformed for Jesus Christ, that lives this, breathes this, everything, that they would die for this. The world doesn't tell you that your marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman and their God. The world doesn't tell you that God can and will and does restore marriages, families, and lives. The world doesn't tell you that the man of God must give an account for our soul. The world doesn't tell you that today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now, today, right here, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord is coming back. I don't know when. I just know he is coming back. Don't surrender now. All that we have hoped for, lived for, and expected. Expect everything that our pastor has set up, his burden, his prayer, his desire for this church is to come to the place that we would expect. Expect what? What are we expecting? What is it every day when you wake up that catches your attention? Is it the cloud? Is it the cloud that's coming, as in this picture? Is it that cloud that when our Jesus is going to break forth through that cloud? When he appears and we are caught up to meet him, what is it that you're expecting? Don't throw in the towel now. There's too much at stake. We have the goods. It's right here. It's right here. If you believe it, you'll read it. You'll read it. When the world gets in your face, I got some tips for you. Never give in. Never surrender. But when the world gets in your face with fear, with doubt, unbelief, and tells you to just give up, you look the world back in the face. You pray, God, give me boldness. Give me boldness. And you look back in the face of this world and you proclaim the promises of God. Psalm 31:24. And I'm going to say this how I would say it in my prayer. And this is how I would say it if I were talking and applying it to my own life, not as the third person. I am of good courage, and God will strengthen my heart. My hope is in the Lord. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded you, Linda, to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with me, and whithersoever I go. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak. God, strengthen my hands. Don't let me grow weak. Let me not become weary in well-doing, for our work shall be rewarded. God, you will reward the work that we are doing. That day of reckoning is coming. I will get that reward. I am expecting to see Jesus face to face. And those crowns that those elders cast at the throne, that's the crown of life. Those crowns that we're going to be getting. We aren't even going to care about those crowns. We're going to be so glad to see him face to face. We're going to throw those crowns at the one who redeemed us. That's all that really is going to matter when life is said and done. Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in you, God. You are my helper. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and I will sing with praise. I will sing with praise. My heart, my song. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth. The world didn't make this earth. It wasn't by some evolution. It didn't happen by some big bang. Behold, God, you made heaven. You made the earth. Thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing. Nothing. Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with me. He will not fail me, neither forsake me. I will not be afraid. I will not be dismayed. I will look up, for my redemption draweth nigh. This world is not my home. I'm not going to take up residence here. This isn't my home. 2 Corinthians 4:8-12. We are troubled on every side. Sounds like our world today. Sometimes even our lives. Every side, yet not distressed. What? Oh, Lord, I'm troubled on every side, but I'm not going to be distressed. I'm not going to be perplexed. I am not going to live my life in despair. Galatians 6:9. 2 Corinthians 4:8-12. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Lord, I am delivered, even if it takes me to death for your sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in my mortal flesh. Get rid of Linda. I need to die to this flesh daily. Daily. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So death does the work in us, but his life in us. Galatians 6:9. And wait for Galatians 6:9 to come back. Philippians 1:6. Oh, there it is. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Lord, I don't want to be weary in well-doing. For in due season, if I just stay strong, I will reap. I will not faint. You will get me through this, Lord. This is just a season. This too, it shall pass. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yep, I'm human. I fail. I mess up. I goof up. We all do. But I have the confidence that if I continue in the Word of God, if I keep coming to church, if I keep praying, if I keep doing what I need to do, I can be confident that the very thing that God has begun, he will perform it until he comes. He will keep his church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. They will not. It doesn't matter because the church isn't the building. The church is you and me. We are the church. So what can man do to us? Take this flesh? He can't kill the church. The church will go on. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another and let Linda consider my brother, my sister. Let me provoke my sister unto love. Let me provoke my brother to do good works. Let me not take it for myself, but let me provoke one another. Let me not to forsake the assembling of myself in church as the manner of some, but exhorting. We need to encourage one another. We need to come together, that it's not just a program. It's not just a method. We're coming here because we have to exhort one another. And so much more as we see the day approaching. Don't get distracted. Keep your eye on the promise. Keep your eye on what is to come. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, this is just a light affliction compared to what eternity will bring. For our light affliction, what we go through on this earth, I know it's hard. My life has been hard. I have gone through many, many things, even as a child. But it's a light affliction, and it's only for the moment. This earth is not our home. That affliction that we go through, it's to work in us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. This is for His glory. This has nothing to do with our affliction. In the light of it all, it is just a moment. It's a temporary thing. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit, you like men, be strong. I looked at that word quit, and I thought, well, I know that can't mean to quit. We're not supposed to quit. Never surrender. So we looked it up, and I looked in the message, and this is what it said. Keep your hands open. Hold tight to your convictions. Give it all. Give it all you got. Be resolute and love without stopping. Hold on to it. Oh, sorry, keep your eyes open. I say hands, didn't I? Keep your eyes open and hold tight. Thank you for putting that up. Hold tight to your convictions and give it all you got. Romans 15:2. Thank you for changing that for me. Jesus is coming back. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We need each other. We need each other. We need to encourage. We need to exhort. And you know, the only way, the best way that I know is through the Word of God. It's through prayer. When we come together for corporate prayer, when we come together to church to hear the Word of God, when we send our kids into the Sunday school rooms, this is the place that we get edified. This is the place where we draw strength. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for a church prepared, a church that is expecting his return. We need to come to a place every day to expect his return. If you have never repented, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name or filled with the Holy Ghost, I have good news for you today. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. And if you've kind of strayed away or you're struggling or you don't feel like you're quite where you want to be, and if the Lord were to call us home that you're not ready, today is your day too. Because today is the day. This is the day that the Lord has chosen. And today, if we would look up, our redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21 and 8. And Jesus said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not, therefore, after them. What is it that is happening? It's 21 and 8. What are those things? What is the deception that's going on in our world today? 2 Timothy 3:1-7. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Oh, if that's not true. Selfie, selfie, selfie. Oh, the people that I run into all over, there is this self-gratification. There is this entitlement mentality amongst a group of people. And I'm not even going to say it's a generation because it's in all generations. But this world, they are lovers of their own selves. Their covetousness. They want everything. If the Jones have it, the Browns got to have it. If the Browns got it, the Smiths got to have it. We all got to have what somebody else has. We're boasters. We got to boast in our good things that we do. We got to always say, well, I've done this or I've done that, or proud. We're proud. And we think, look at me. Look at me. Or I'm going to add shame. Shame is the same as pride. The only difference is pride is saying, look what I've done. The other, shame, is saying, who's looking at me? Attention is still on me. When I was a young person, I was attending a Baptist church in high school. And the youth pastor, I remember I hated walking in late anywhere. I hated. I still do. You'll see me sometimes. We'll get here a little bit late after work. And I stand out there until we greet the guests. Because I don't want everybody looking at me. I guess that might be shame. Because I'm thinking everybody's looking at me. God forgive me. But I do remember a youth pastor saying to me that I didn't want to shake people's hands because I was shy. I was really quiet. I was shy. Can you believe that? Probably not. But I was. And I didn't like to talk to people. I was very reserved and to myself. I was an introvert. And a lot of times I still am. But when he told me that a shy person is a selfish person, they're a person who's thinking about themselves. Who would want to shake my hand? The focus isn't really on the person that you're reaching out to. The focus is on you. We're blasphemers. We speak evil about the things of God. We make fun of it. We think everything that's supposed to be holy and sacred and set apart, we joke about it, even in the house of God. No, this should not be. This is the sanctuary. Our homes are the sanctuary. It is the place where the Holy Ghost dwells. It is the holiest of holies. And yet, we speak so lightly. We tread so gingerly. We need to be careful. We're disobedient to parents. Children, hear what I'm saying. Young people, I love you. I love every one of you. And I know some of you may not have a Christian home, but I'm going to tell you that you need to honor your parents, and while you're under their roof, you need to be obedient, and as long as they don't ask you to sin, you need to honor them. God expects you to be obedient. People are unthankful. They're unthankful. I have to ask myself today, did I thank God for a church? Did I thank God for allowing me to come in here tonight? Did I thank God that we had song and music and praise and worship? Did I thank God that I don't have to worry about people coming through the door with guns and grenades and blowing me up? Am I thankful? Am I thankful? Am I thankful for fleas? Who's thankful for fleas in this place? I heard a story. Somebody at work shared it with me. I'm thankful for fleas now. But I heard a story about these two girls that were in a concentration camp, and they were in this car full of people and fleas. And the one girl said, oh, I can't handle this. There are fleas. I cannot be in this place. I can't stand fleas. I hate fleas. Why did God even make fleas? And her sister said, be thankful for fleas. What? I am not going to be thankful for fleas, she said. And as time went on, they were placed in this room. And in this room, of course, they were full of fleas. Everybody that was in that room, they were isolated from the rest of the camp. And there were fleas all over that camp in that room. Well, the Lord, actually they were talking about what we can be thankful for. And the one girl smuggled her Bible in. And she said, well, I'm thankful that God let me take my Bible in. They began to have Bible study together. And then other people that were in their room began to join them. And pretty soon the Bible study grew and grew and grew. And then people were just openly studying the Word of God. And one day the sister said, I know why we don't have fleas. This is the only room that the guards don't go into. Those girls were not touched because they had fleas. It was Corrie ten Boom. It was her testimony. And that was ad-libbed. But basically, be thankful. Be thankful. You never know what it is in your life that we need to be thankful for. Unholy. There's no godliness anymore. Or there's a form of godliness, but we deny the power of holiness. Holiness is what's in our heart. Holiness is what dictates everything that comes out of our mouth. Holiness dictates how we live our lives, where we go, what we watch, what we see. It's not a list of rules and regulations. The Bible says in Psalm 103, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. Why do you think he said that? Because we're to be holy. This is his vessel. This is his temple. These are his eyes. These are his ears. And we have precious children that we're bringing up in the church. What are we teaching them? Are we giving them double standards? Are we giving them double teaching? What is it? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We have to set the example for this group of young people. It's up to us. We've got to be holy. We've got to be natural. But because people without natural affection, what's natural affection? Husbands and wives, parents and children, the right kind of affection. Truce breakers, who keeps their word anymore? Oh yeah, I'll be there. They never show up. Oh yeah, I'm coming tonight. They don't come. Truce breakers, they don't keep their word. Used to be, a man's handshake was his word. It's all it took. And they followed through. False accusers, people are always out there conjugating what they think happened. And because they think that it happened that way, it was that way. They're false accusers. They blame people. They jump to assumptions. They see something going on or two people talking, and automatically an assumption is made that that discussion must have been about me. And it causes disunity. And God hates disunity. Incontinent. That means without control. There's no self-control anymore. You move out a little bit more, a little bit more, and a little bit more. And pretty soon, you're just out of control. Fierce. They're fierce not about the things of God, but there's just this fierceness, this bold in your face, and they're going to tell you what they think, and they don't care, and they're just going to be in your face. They're fierce. They're despisers of those that are good. It's so ironic that I can stay in my own little world, not say anything to anybody about their lifestyle, but boy, as soon as they find out you're a Christian, oh, you're one of those that dot, 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 dot. And I'm like, I didn't even say anything. I didn't say anything. You live the way you want to live. It's your choice. But I want to live for God. They're traitors. People stab each other in the back. They don't care. They hurt. They're heady. They're high-minded. They only think about themselves. They're lovers of pleasures. Go to church? Win a soul? Pray for somebody? Go visit the sick? Go to a nursing home? Are you kidding? I'd rather have fun. I want to do fun things. Why do I have to serve? Pleasures more than lovers of God. The Bible says that we are to serve. We are to serve. We have become a society having a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. This is what we're living for. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers of lust. Single women, we need to guard our hearts. We need to keep our homes pure. We need to keep our thoughts pure. We cannot be guided away with the lusts of this world. People are ever learning. Never a day did we live in a time of so much knowledge. ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This word is so backed up by science, by math, by history. But people don't get into the word and study it. They don't look at the history. But if you get in there and you begin to study it out, and you take it from a scientific approach. If you want to know more about scientific and math approach, see Brother Russell. He's got a great handout. Did you know that the Bible talks about the world being a sphere? Columbus didn't discover it. God created it. And Columbus was what, 1462? 1492. But the word of God way before that said it was a sphere. It was a sphere. And did you know that before medicine, which has only been in the last maybe 100 years, they used to take your blood out. They thought it would make you better. People were dying. They weren't getting better. Well, now we've discovered that we need our blood, and if we lose blood, we got to replace it. But you know the Bible says that the life is in the blood? It's in the blood. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Tonight, as we come to a close, I don't want to leave you with all this negativity, because we have a hope and we are here expecting. And this is what we are expecting. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. And I don't just want to come to church. I don't just want to be ready. I want to give it all I have. I don't want to be led astray. I want to love the truth, because the truth will set you free. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, I will guarantee you that this word will set you free if you learn how to use it, if you learn how to apply it, and you never surrender. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. And in closing, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, if we hold on, if we never surrender, if we hang on to what we've been given, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is what I'm expecting. I want to be with him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling discouraged, if the world is in your face, comfort one another with these words. These words are powerful. It's the word of God. This is not a time to lose hope. We got to be strong. We got to sound the alarm. The Lord is coming. And I don't care if he comes in my lifetime or not. I would prefer that he comes soon. But you know what? If I die, then I'll rest quietly till he takes me home. And if I'm still here when he comes, I want to be caught up. I want to receive my reward. This world, it's not my home. It's not my home. And if you all would please stand. And we have altar workers that if there's something in your heart or your life, or you just want to draw closer to God, every day, that desire that when we wake up in the morning, we look out our window and we see the clouds, and a cloud reminds us to look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. The Bible says that the Lord is coming in the cloud. He's coming. Look to the eastern sky. This is the eastern side. This is my favorite place to pray, because this is that place where I seek the Lord and I want to be in his presence. Oh God, Lord, I pray that tonight, that every heart, every mind, Lord, that our hearts and our minds would be fixed and stayed upon you. I pray, God, that you would prepare this vessel, that you would prepare my heart. Lord, I know that this world, it's not my home. And one day, God, you're going to sound the trumpet. I want my heart to be ready. But God, more than that, I don't just want to survive. I want to thrive. And I want to take people with me. I want to take whosoever will. Let them come. Jesus, I pray that you would prepare my heart, my mind. Prepare my heart to be a sanctuary. God, a place where you can dwell, a hunger and a desire. God, we cannot receive the word of God if we receive not a hunger. We cannot be filled with rivers of living water unless we have a thirsting. Lord, let us hunger. Let us thirst. Let us, oh God, to prevail. Let us, God, to enter into that holy place, into that place, into that sanctuary, God. Oh, Lord, I want to be where your presence dwells. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise you.